I'm so thankful for this lady. She's been in mine and Cindy's life for lots of years. and I mean, I worked for Tom years ago in EMS, and one of my first jobs in EMS, and that was a fun time. We had some good times, and golly, I just thought of something. Tom, Mr. Schneider back then, he always, you know, he wanted us to be very professional on the radios and those kind of things. And one day I was pulling out of headquarters, and I picked it because he wasn't supposed to be anywhere around. And I don't even remember what I said, but I said kind of a joke or something to the dispatcher. And the next voice I heard was him coming across the radio. He was right around the corner, and I was trying to find a place to hide. But but he was a good boss, a good man. And this is a good family, and they love the Lord. And Carolyn, thank you for speaking this morning.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you. They used to say about Tom, he was everywhere. Nobody could get away with anything. I don't know how he did it. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Donnie, for this opportunity. I do want to start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this assembly this morning. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for what you have planned. I know it's an awesome plan because you're an awesome God. And Father, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit will go open up hearts so that this word will find lodging as the ears are also open to hear the word of the Lord today. Thank you, Father, that your word is seasoned and it tastes good. And Lord, we just take and eat of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's so ironic how the Lord is putting things together already. As Donnie came up and read scripture from Isaiah 61. He was talking about our Lord. He was talking about the purpose of our Lord and the Spirit being on him and anointing him to preach the gospel to the poor, to the world, and how he was to set the captives free. It was talking about the mission of our Lord. And then Tom comes along and reads Isaiah 53, talking about furthering that mission, talking about what Jesus accomplished in his life and how he suffered for us. And I'm coming along also from the book of Isaiah this morning, Isaiah 49, starting with the first verse. And I'd like you to follow me in the scripture, because as I read it, I will elaborate on it a little bit. But God has a special word for us today, because he's tying it all together about our Lord. He's showing us that God had a plan for him. He sent him on a mission, and God has a plan for all of us. You're not here by mistake. You're here by miracle, actually. We're all miracles of the Lord, and he wants to dispatch us just like he did Jesus. So let's look and see what Isaiah 49 talks about in light of what Donnie has read about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Jesus and anointing him for the ministry, because without the anointing, the yoke cannot be broken. He's the yoke-breaking Spirit of the Lord. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. And I'll say to you today, by the Spirit of God, listen to what the Lord wants to say today. And when he said here, coastlands, he's expanding the word. He's saying, now look further, because the scriptures before chapter 49 had talked about what had been going on with Israel and the captivity they've been in, and a little bit of the history. And it was talking about the blessing of the Lord being on them. But now it takes a little bit of a different turn. And this scripture is actually Jesus that we're talking about. And he's saying, "O coastlands." Now, what he's talking about is the land beyond Israel. He's talking about northern Europe and the south down in Saudi Arabia, where that is. But he's saying, "Pay attention, because I'm changing where I was. I'm going now more futuristically." So he says, "Listen and give attention. The Lord called me from the womb." Do you know, men, that you derive from your mothers? Jesus acknowledged that. He said, "The Lord called me from the womb." Who else said that? Jeremiah said that. "The Lord called me while I was in the womb of my mother and called me to be a prophet." Paul even said that. "The Lord called me from the womb of my mother." The Lord has called some of you from the womb of your mother, and you've been running from it ever since you became of intelligence and know what life was all about. I believe the Lord called me from my mother's womb because he put me on a path, a trajectory toward living a good life, toward following him all the days of my life. So Jesus is saying, the Lord God called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. You know, the angel of the Lord came and said, "You'll call his name Emmanuel." But God was in it. He had named him from the beginning. "He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me." The mouth is God's chosen organ for announcing everything he's going to do. The mouth is so important. And he made God, the mouth of the Lord, like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. Are you hidden in the Lord today? Sometimes we need to escape what's going on in our life. Sometimes we don't have a week of sheer excitement and the manifest presence of the God going before you on a mission trip. Sometimes it's a little bit more challenging. Sometimes the week doesn't go like we always expect it to go. But Jesus said, "I've been hidden in the shadow of his hand. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away." If you feel like you're being hidden today, perhaps God is polishing you to be his hidden arrow. It's being put on the backpack of the Lord God, where he is forming you and he's fashioning you and he's preparing you and he's making you a polished arrow. I entitled this message today, "Are You Missing the Mark?" Are you missing the mark? And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense is with my God." Tom talked about in Isaiah 53, the sorrow of the Lord. It wasn't always good for Jesus either. He had sorrow in his life. He suffered. And here he is saying in the scripture, "I've spent my work in vain." At this point, Jesus didn't see much fruit in his life because he had been working with those stubborn Jews. He wasn't in the person. But over in time again, we know the history of the Jews, and I'm not going to reiterate it, but they were a stubborn, rebellious bunch. And Jesus, being the angels that appeared, however, Jesus is in the Old Testament. You know that. And so he was doing his work even then, but he hadn't seen any fruit from what he was doing. and he felt contempt. He didn't see, as Tom read in Isaiah 53, that his fidelity and his diligence had given him a reward. Are you sensing today that you've not found your reward? That your diligence, your Bible study, your praying, your fasting, you're doing all that you feel that the Spirit is leading you to do, which I know Jesus did. Of all people who followed the Spirit, the Lord Jesus did. But he felt there was no fruit coming. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. And he says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. At this point, he is saying, I'm opening up the window. I'm inviting in a new group of people. I'm calling in the Gentiles. I'm opening up my salvation to all mankind. And I'm declaring you my arrow that's been hidden in my quiver. And I'm sending you forth. And you're going to be that one that brings salvation to the world. What was the target of that arrow? It was the cross. It was the cross. And so God says, in the fullness of time, the time is now. He changes it from reciting the history of the Jews and what all they had done and what they hadn't done. He said, but you know, and this wasn't just a new idea to God. That was in his mind from the beginning when man failed. He just put and separated a nation called Israel to put his glory upon, to be a testimony to the world of all that he could do and would do. But yet his intention was always to bring the Gentiles in, because he loved everyone. God loves the world. And so that was his plan, was to send Jesus, the sharp, the polished arrow with a target of the cross, to become the Savior of all mankind. Praise God for his eternal purposes that were served through Jesus. Now I want you to get a picture of you being an arrow. Because I'm going to ask you later, have you missed your mark? That's the focus here. Have you missed your mark? Okay. I want to tell you about another situation involving arrows that may give you a little better understanding. Now, if you'll turn over with me to 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. 2 Kings 19, 14 through 19. We're going to talk about a wonderful prophet named Elisha. I love Elisha, because he is the one who would not leave Elijah. Elijah was a great, great prophet who performed miracles throughout Israel. And at the end of his life, God had called Elisha to follow him, to be his servant. And what I love about Elisha, and I've probably told you all this before, but I love his life because it's in knowing that story. My mother was a minister. Most of you know that. And when she was living with Tom and me, and we were caring for her, I was sitting by her bed one day, and I said, "Mom, I want that anointing that's on you to follow me. I want your mantle. And that's what Elisha did. He saw the power of God in Elijah's life, and he said, you know, I want that mantle. And Elijah tried to shoo him away and say, go and leave me. And he said, no, Lord, I will not leave you. I will stay right here. And my mom was so witty and sharp. And when I asked her, I said, I want that mantle to pass to me like it did to Elisha. And she said, if you see me go up. And I was blessed by the Lord to be right by her bed when she went up. And I know that that mantle was dropped on me. I haven't fulfilled her shoes yet, but it's coming. I'm working on it. But so anyway, here's Elisha at the end of his day. So let's look at verse 14. Now, in these scriptures, we're going to look at two different acts. We're going to look at shooting an arrow. Remember, God pulled his arrow, Jesus, out of his quiver and shot him forward all the way to the New Testament, all the way to the cross. And so here we're going to look at the shooting of the arrow of deliverance. There are many kinds of arrows, but this is the shooting of the arrow of deliverance and then smiting the arrow. And that's also emblematic and symbolic. Oh, 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 Kings chapter 19. No. 2 Kings for chapter 19. Yes, 14 through 19. I'm not confused, are y'all? Okay, hit that electronic Bible and it'll go right to it, okay? 2 Kings. Oh my goodness, I am confused. I am confused. I'm sorry. I wrote it down on my tab wrong. 13. 2 Kings 13, okay. Verse 14. I wrote it on my tab wrong. I should tear that tab up, right? It's trying to get me off track. But thank you. Hold me accountable, okay? I was blaming y'all. It's all my fault. I got so excited about the mantle. I'm waiting for it to fall. I'm waiting for that power. I'm not waiting. It's here. God is in me. God is in you. God is in you. He's in, oh, it's here. Hallelujah. We just had to take a little detour. Okay. I'm so excited about the arrows. Aha. Aha. Okay. I'm going to show you the arrow in a minute. Okay. So now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, you know, we don't all go the same way. And I was thinking about that for your mom. We don't all go the same way. Elijah was carried up. The horsemen came to get him, and he was carried up in the chariot. But here's Elisha after a life of long ministry, all he did, that he had fallen sick with an illness of which he was to die. King Joash of Israel went down to him and wept before him. Now this King Joash was neither good nor bad, but he knew of Elisha. Does the community know of your life? If they hear that you're sick and you're about to die, are they going to come, like I did with my mom, and say, I want your mantle. I want that anointing to pass. But King Joash, not being either good or bad, but he knew that without Elisha being in the territory, that they would not be as victorious. And so he came weeping, and there's Elisha. I'm sure he tried to console him. He said, look, don't weep. Don't be afraid. You know, I'm about to die. God's going to bury my workmen, but his work is not buried. His work is not going to be buried. It's going on. Elisha wasn't going to do it. And tomorrow, we may not be doing it, but God's work is eternal. It is eternal. We're going to do it here in earth. Are we going to do it in heaven? And so, I'm encouraging you to live to your purpose. Live to your purpose. If you don't know your purpose, find it. God has a purpose for us. From the beginning, before the world began, He established purpose and grace in us. Purpose to fulfill His plan, and grace He gave to us is the enablement to do it. So here's Elisha saying, "Don't cry for me. Believe in God. Dry your tears. Forsake your grief." And so he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." That's the same thing they said about Elijah. And Elisha said, "Go to him, take a bow and arrows." So he took a bow and arrows. How quickly of him to obey. Are we that quick to obey? No. Even for this king, who was not all that in tune with God, but he knew the man that was in tune. You know, so many times in your own life, you're going to have that situation. You're going to have people come to you who are not as in tune as you are. But when you speak, they will obey because they know you're speaking with authority. So here is this man speaking with authority. And so he says, "Take a bow and arrows." So he took a bow and arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, "Draw the bow." And he drew it. Don't you wish your children would be that quick to obey? Amen. And Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. Ooh. Wouldn't you like for God's hands to be on your hands? You want the assurance of success. Now you have God put His hands on your hands. Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Amen? So Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands, a guarantee of success. And he said, "Open the window eastward." So there's a window there, and he said, "Open that window eastward." Now, eastward was indicating across Jordan, where Syria had conquered much of the land of Israel. So he said, "Now open up this window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria." When in these times, when someone shot an arrow or threw down a flint, that was an indication we're going to war. It's like, all right, have it that way. We're going to fight. And so he told King Joash, he said, "Now open that window eastward and shoot your arrow. We're going to fight, and God's going to give you victory. Send the arrow, and where the arrow goes, you will be rewarded and you will be assured of victory." And so he shot, and the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Syria, "For you shall fight the Syrians and everything until you have made an end of them." God is telling you to open your window eastward, because that's the direction our Lord is coming back in. He's coming from the east. Shoot your arrow. You want to have victory? Open your window. Get ready to shoot your arrow. And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, okay, here we're moving toward the smiting part of the arrow. And this is going to show the test of the character of King Joash. He says, okay, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground with them. And he struck three times and stopped. He had been so quick to obey before. What's the problem now? This is indicating his lackluster attitude. Because Elisha had wanted him to strike five or six times. Are you only striking three times when the Lord has said strike five times or six times? Because every time you strike the ground, there's victory. Carol, strike the ground on Saturday. Victory. And so he, Elisha, the man of God was angry with him. He said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck down Syria until you had made an end of it. Friends, we're not striking our arrow and we're not defeating our enemies. We're not killing them off. We're not defeating the devil in areas of our lives. He's still coming after us. We're not fulfilling the striking of the arrow, which has the call of God, the anointing of God. And so, therefore, we're losing the battle. We're missing the mark. So what does this arrow speak of? It's a symbol of movement and action and direction. What makes up the arrow? Some of you guys know, and maybe girls. Hey, we're a guy and girl church, right? We all do the same things. So what makes up the arrow? I'm going to tell you a little bit about the arrow. Because if God saw Jesus as his arrow, his polished arrow that he reached back in the quiver and pulled out and shot it on into eternity to the cross for us, there must be something symbolic about this arrow. This arrow has feathers on it, right? You see the feathers? The feathers on the arrow represent stability. It guides it in the direction that it needs to go. This red feather is in alignment with this knock on the back of this arrow. And it propels it toward the mark. And that's why the Lord used this symbol, because when he propels the arrow, he wants it to hit the mark. It hit the mark for the Lord when he pulled him out of the quiver and he shot it. It went to the cross, and that's why we're all here. So the feathers represent stability and balance. Balance is important in the body of Christ today. It's important in any aspect of life. But in the church particularly, there's so many doctrines that are coming forward that are false doctrines. And the Bible warns us that in the end times, many will fall to seducing spirits. We need this arrow of Christ, the polished arrow of God, to keep us on course and to keep us away from these false doctrines. And it was a polished shaft. Polished represents holiness and purity. If we want to have the aroma of Christ on us, it's going to take holiness. And it's going to be found in the inner court where we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We can be an out-of-court Christian all the days of our life, and you'll get to heaven, but you will not have fulfilled your purpose. You'll be languishing without purpose. We have despair. I know so many people today that are looking for a purpose. They're saying, why am I here? What has God put me here? And what am I missing? I know I'm missing the mark, but I don't know how to find that target. I don't know what to shoot for. Shoot for the polished shaft of the Lord God, because that will indicate that you have gone into the from the outer court to the inner court, and you're presenting yourself a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable to Him, and that we become a sweet-smelling savor. We smell like the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been in crowds of people that you can smell. I mean, I'm not talking about perspiration, because we can all smell that. But there's an odor that's emitted when people are under the influence of demons. Cindy, I'm sure you and Donnie have experienced that. But there's also a sweet-smelling savor of the Lord that when we go into that inner place with Him. Now, what we're trying to do is get beyond the veil, the most holy place. I hope I'm getting there. I'm certainly working on it. But this hour is a representative of us, and it caused Jesus to go forward and incorporate all of us into the body of Christ. And so to be effective, also this hour is not only a polished shaft, but Donna, you read in Isaiah 61, oaks of righteousness. Some arrows are made out of oak. Some are made out of ash. Some are made out of elm. That represents humanity. That represents all of us, because our makeup is all different. But it says that we're all qualified to be the polished arrow of the Lord God. No matter what color, no matter what physique, no matter what nationality, we're all qualified. And I'm so grateful. But yet, on the end, we have a point. And a lot of times, that point, it can have a flintstone on it. Usually, it has a sharpened end, because it's a projectile. And there are three things about an arrow that are integral to its makeup. An arrow needs a target. What is your target today? Jesus had a target. It was your heart. What is your target? An arrow needs a target. And it needs energy. These feathers that you see on this arrow, this is what helps give it energy, because when it is inserted into the string of the bow, the archer really determines the energy behind the bow, because as he pulls it back and lets it go, whatever force is on the end of the sender determines the distance that the arrow goes. So God, being all powerful, when he sent Jesus, he had lots of force behind his arrow, and he flung it all into the future. And so this arrow's got to have energy to get where it's going. And these either feathers or whatever, these are little plastic ones, they're not really feathers, but it causes this arrow to spin, and it keeps it on a stable course. Now, only God can put a picture of what He does for us. That we can, you can take this picture. I like visual aids because I'm a visual learner, and probably some of us are. But I wanted you to go home today knowing that you are called to be the polished arrow of the Lord. And so with the energy of God twirling you into your destiny, energizing you, enabling you to get where He is sending you, then He's going to sharpen you. He's going to put a sharp point on you with your tongue, which is the word of God. The tip of your arrow must be the living, active word of God. What does Hebrews say? The word of God is active and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. So this arrow that you become, you've got to have the ability to penetrate what is coming into your life, into your family's life. You've got to reach back and pull your arrow out and hurl it toward that thing that God is allowing you to destroy. Satan is seeking whom he may devour, and he has devoured many of us. And so this arrow will keep you directed toward the path you're to go. Now, there's a process in the arrow making. It comes with pruning. We know that we all have to be pruned. To make an arrow, if it's from any, whatever kind of wood, you go out and you cut the strip of wood, and you start to work on that wood, and you get it just about in the shape of this arrow. But it calls for pruning. If you want to be an effective arrow for God, you got to submit to the pruning process. And that's cutting away the imperfections and the dead branches. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 15 when he's talking about the vine dresser. He said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. And lo and behold, I'm going to cut some of your branches off and I'm going to throw them in the fire. The pruning process is not pretty always. And it's certainly not easy. And even after that, you've got to be sanded down, because there can be nothing on this arrow, because if it is, it's going to make it go off course. If you've got slight imperfections, it'll make you go off course with the Lord. And so we want to be sanded down. And you guys know better what sanding is, because it's that rubbing and rubbing and rubbing and moving away those imperfections to make it just so smooth, a polished, a smooth feeling. That's what God wants of us. He wants to get the bumps out of our life and to make us smooth in our work for Him. Then the fletching is putting these arrows on here on the side to stabilize. You've got to fletch yourself to get yourself in a place of stability. Not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, in every thought, in every lie that Satan is going to send your way, but letting the Holy Spirit be your comforter. Letting Him give you peace. And then the cresting that comes to the process of arrow. The cresting is the marking on the arrow to identify to whom the arrow belongs. That's usually a colored strip. I want my colored strip. I want my cresting to be the blood of Jesus, so that everybody's going to know who owns this arrow. Who owns you? What is your cresting? Have you been identified with Christ, so that anyone who sees your life will know what your crest mark is? The Bible says that by these, all men will know that we're sons of God. If you love one another, love one another. That's going to be the greatest cresting you can have. If I, who do not know one of you, can love you by the Spirit of the Lord, then I know that God is doing a great thing. And you will know, and I will know, that we are the sons of God by the love. And so, our arrow needs to have a notch in it, that when we are put into the string, bowstring of God, and He pulls it back and He sends it forward, then we will hit the mark. I'm tired of missing my mark. I want to get a new target out there, because it's got a lot of dings in places that I didn't necessarily want on there. Not that I'm better at guns than I am this. I don't do this. But give me a gun and I can do it. Ask my husband. So I'll bring you one of those, but I wouldn't bring you one of these because I've missed this mark. But we are at a point in our life where we need to submit to all that God has planned for us. In these days that we're living in, we are moving into a new time period. And God said, back in Isaiah, He said, in the fullness of time, He sent Christ. It's all about the fullness of time. It's all about the seasons. It's all about knowing the signs that God has put here for us. And there are many signs out there. And we are living in a day where you almost have to be blindfolded not to see some of the signs if you are a spirit walking person. And so, now, from this point on, disjoint your pastor from my comments, because he's not responsible for what I'm about to say. And if you have a problem with it, come talk to me. Don't come talk to your pastor. But Donnie, may I say what's on my heart? Okay. It's not bad. But but you come to talk to me, okay? Don't blame him, because he doesn't know what I'm about to say. But in the days in which we're living, some of you may have y'all read the book, The Paradigm, by Rabbi Jonathan Cahn? Yay, go Sally. It's an amazing book. I do recommend you go read it. But Jehu was the king that God put in position after Ahab and Jezebel destroyed the kingdom through Baal worship. But God called this man who was not really a Christian. He didn't know Christ. He was unorthodox. He made crazy decisions. But God anointed him king over Israel because God knew it was going to take a shaking. It was going to take not being politically correct to get things done. And this was King Jehu. But God also sent an anointed man, and I didn't go back and get his name to tell you. But it's the story's there. But this man was a righteous man. And King Jehu called up this righteous man, and he said, I want you to join with me. I want you to line up with me, because he had influence in the kingdom. And he knew that with him going to the kingship, he had to have the support of the people. So God sent him a man of God to come alongside of him. So today, in our government, we have an unorthodox, untrained, uncontrolled man leading our country that I personally believe God put there. Because we were spiraling out of control. We were quickly spiraling into judgment in our nation. And I believe that God put Cyrus Trump, you've heard him call that, because Cyrus wasn't a Christian, but God sent this man, and he sent him an anointed man called Mike Pence to come along and work beside him, just like in the scriptures, the paradigm, Jehu, Trump, anointed man of God, Mike Pence. And so it appears that we have been given an opportunity to bring ourselves out of judgment, because laws were written that we could abort babies, and we could kill the unborn, and we could do other things. But all that has done is opened up a window of suicide and murder in our land, because it became legal under an administration that I won't name, but it's been in the last four administrations, became legal to kill babies. And when you legalize murder and it's against God, God's not happy. So he can do nothing but bring judgment. And so we find ourselves in this place, and we wonder why, like yesterday, someone would go into a synagogue and kill 11 people. Unbelievable. So God had to send someone who was not a political expert, was off the rail in many ways, but had much support from the Christian realm. And without that, he wouldn't have gone into office. But I'm saying this not because I'm trying to incline you to any political decision, because it's not about the politics. It's not about the person. It's about the window. God says, open the window and shoot the arrow. He's saying to each of us, we have a responsibility to open the window and shoot his arrow and let it find its destination. It's in 2 weeks we have an election. I'm telling you to pull your arrow out of your quiver and shoot it, so that our country can come back to the Lord. It's not about politics, and I'm not expressing, that's not what this is about. I'm telling you that if our nation does not come to renewal, revival, and restoration, we are a lost nation. And so God is calling us, I like this sound better, to take your arrow and beat it in the ground as a symbol to the devil. I told you it's a call to war, right? Take your arrow and beat it in the ground and say, devil, I'm doing my part. I'm not going to miss my mark. I'm going forward at the demand and command of my Almighty God to preserve this nation and make sure that it's a God-honoring nation. We were founded on God principles. He wants us to stay on his principles, or we will not continue as a Christian society. Get your arrows out. Get on your knees. Beat on the ground. Make a declaration. And God said, that Elisha said to Joash, you beat on the ground and I will give you victory. Take your arrow. You are that arrow. You are the arrow of God. You're the polished arrow of the Lord God, and he's sending you into your community. He's sending you to your polling place. He's sending you to your knees, most of all, because he says, I want my people back. He sent Jesus to the cross so that we can all be saved. We can go out and save others. Are you going to miss the mark? No. No. We're in this together. We are not lone rangers. We are not going to sit back and miss the mark. We're going to beat the ground. We're going to say, God, just as it was, Ecclesiastes, what has been will be. We see that in the story of Jehu and Trump, and then goes back to Ahab and Jezebel. It's still remnants of it everywhere. But Lord God, no, we will not stop. We will not stop until, like Elisha, it's my time to go. But the work of the God will continue. Some of us here today may be gone next week, but But you know what? God's work is going on. He's called us all. So I tell you, beat the ground. Tom read, he was smitten. God smit Jesus. Smote. God smote Jesus when he reached back and he said, I'm sending my arrow. I'm sending him all the way to the cross. And so he smote Jesus, that arrow. And because of that, we have eternal life if we've accepted Jesus. Get your arrow, get on your knees, and pray for this land that we be restored. And go vote, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lisa, what was it that Josh prayed? Satan? Not today, Satan. That was smoking that arrow. That's what he was doing, okay? So if you want to, you can vote for Carolyn Snyder. Oh, I'm sorry. She's not on the ballot. She's not. It's a privilege to vote. So exercise your privilege, guys. Do that. Don't sit back and expect somebody else to do it for you. You get out and vote what the Lord directs you to do. So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that we are arrows in your quiver. And, Lord, we pray that we are polished and that our feathers are in place and that we're in tune, balanced to hit the mark that you have for us. And, Lord, if we or out of whack a little bit or whatever, would you just reveal that to us, Lord, so that we can lay ourselves before you to polish us, to fix our feathers, to sharpen our point, whatever it might be, Lord God, so that we can be used fully and completely. You didn't say by mistake that I have a plan for you and a destiny for you. You didn't say that just flippantly. You do have a plan. You have a plan for us to hit the mark. And so, Lord, even if we're confused about the mark, would you show us the mark as well? And, Lord, we just bless you today and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word today, Lord God. And we just bless Carolyn in Jesus' name.